Spring turkey season is upon us, and don't be caught out in the woods without having Onyx Hunt on your phone. One feature Onyx has that is often overlooked for turkey hunting is their recent imagery filter with their elite memberships. This imagery is updated week to week, and it comes in extremely handy, especially when you're trying to find these gobble zones where these turkeys will go out in a high spot on a fresh clear cut and strut around all day long. Actually, I was just looking at it on Onyx where the timber company just came into Andrew's Club and did a very small clear cut along this creek. And I can see the high spots on the topographical map, but also I can see exactly where they mulch. And those are going to be hot spots for finding gobblers, especially mid-morning after they get off their hens, getting up on these little high spots in this fresh, small clear cut along the creek and strutting and gobbling all day long. If you want to give Onyx a try, you can actually download it for free, try it for 7 days. And if you decide to purchase, you can use the promo code Southern and save on your premium and elite memberships. So going into this turkey season, know where you stand with Onyx.
Look, y'all know we harp on it a lot. You need a good pair of binos. Yeah, I never hunted with binos until I was almost into my 20s. I never did it when I was a teenager or anything like that, or when I was a kid, we never had binos. And when I bought my first pair of Vortex binos, the first binos I ever purchased back in like 2015, it immediately made a huge difference for me, especially in the turkey woods. So give yourself the advantage of a good pair of binos this spring, whether you're looking for more of like an entry-level bino like the Vortex Diamondbacks or something really, really nice like the Razors. Vortex is going to have something for you. And hey, don't pay full price for it. Use our discount code at eurooptic.com. Use the code SGN10 to get a discount on any Vortex optics that you want to order. Again, that's eurooptic.com, code SGN10 to go get a discount on any Vortex product you order. If you live in the Gulf Coast region, you need to find yourself at the EcoWild Expo May 10th through the 12th in Mobile. It is the premier outdoor expo for the Gulf Coast region, and we're going to be there. We're going to have a booth. We're super excited about it. Can't wait to meet you guys that live down there. We absolutely love the Gulf Coast region, so to be a part of this show, we're super excited about. We're going to have past podcast guests there at our booth for you to talk to, guys who are relevant for your area, who you can talk to, you can pick their brain, you can joke with them, laugh with them, tell them your story, whatever you want to do. It's going to be an awesome time. We're already working on some past podcast guests, but hey, if you live in this area and you have a suggestion for someone you want to see at that show, write in and we'll see if we can get them. There's going to be all kinds of exhibitors at the show that are focused on hunting, fishing, conservation, and recreation. There's going to be activities for the whole family there. They got axe throwing, archery. They're going to have our podcast booth. And then for the kids, they got touch tanks, a honeybee exhibition, a raptor show, kids fishing tank, BB gun range, and a butterfly house. So you're going to love it. Your kids are going to love it. It's going to be an awesome time. So head on over to ecowildexpo.com to get more information on the show and to go ahead and grab your tickets. And hey, mark it on your calendar. May 10th through the 12th. Be there. We want to see you and we're excited to talk to you. So we'll see you at the EcoWild Expo this May 10th through the 12th at the Mobile Convention Center in Mobile, Alabama. Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of the Southern Outdoorsman Podcast. Deer hunters rejoice, because we're going to be talking deer on this one. And we're going to talk a little bit about turkey hunting, just because it kind of ties in with the deer scouting. Jacob, you were, last week we talked about I killed a turkey. You missed a couple turkeys. And then you ended up going hunting with our buddy Greg Mayhair from Meadow Creek Mounts. So we're going to talk about your hunts with him, as well as the cameras that you pulled when you were kind of hunting your way through this area. We got them on the TV over here. Yep. We're gonna be going through this card live on the podcast. This is going to be fun. Jacob, how are you doing?
Oh, tired. Exhausted.
A little bit tired.
Beat down from the turkeys. Beat down with the heat. Beat down with the hike today.
So a week has passed since the last episode, but about 35 minutes have passed since we recorded the last episode. So yep. We're doing a back-to-back here.
Down in the
due
dumps.
To time constraints, we're doing a back-to-back. So, Jacob, you haven't hunted anymore since then. So, Jacob hasn't just been like, an extra, week of mental beatdown.
No, but we do have some stuff to talk about that we didn't cover on last week's episode.
Yeah, yes.
So, a couple hunts, turkeys dying, turkeys kind of getting away.
Dude, look at how much weight you lost.
Damn,
dude,
son.
Look at you. You look like a little fat kid.
Holy cow.
Yeah. I'm going to have to throw that up on the podcast.
Did I have a beard right there?
Yeah, dude. Either that or you got a big old double chin hanging down.
Dude, can you zoom in on that?
Oh, let's see. Can I zoom
in?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. Look at him. God, if I saw that dude come through the woods, I'd be like, who's got the Pillsbury? Who's got the Pillsbury?
You better hide your Snickers bars. See that guy coming through the woods.
Hide your honey buns and hide your Snickers because Jacob's coming.
Jacob's doing good, everybody. Jacob's losing weight. We're going to give him a round of applause. So
building some muscles after hunting over. God dang. Yeah, dude, I'm like four pant sizes down since that photo.
Dang, dude. Big old fella right
there.
When
was this photo?
This was December 3rd.
Oh, when we hung it up. Oh, yeah, I forgot it was dark when we were hanging that camera.
Yeah. So, yeah, we were doing these after dark. Anywho, dude, look, you're like a big old Sasquatch right there.
Yeah, that's a thick boy right there. Listen, that is a mature buck right
mature
there.
Buck.
Listen, dude,
he ain't missed a meal.
You'll feed the freezer with that one. Fill the freezer. Feed the freezer. Fill the freezer.
Throw you another Zen in.
I just did. I'm nicotined up right now trying to stay awake.
All right. What were we saying? I derailed that, whatever you were saying there. You hunted with Greg.
Oh, yeah. I was just saying that and did hunted with Greg twice now. And, dude, it was awesome. I ain't going to lie.
Got a bird kilt.
We can talk a little bit about that. Kind of, to be honest, it was... Again, just like your bird you killed, where we talked about last week, kind of non-textbook hunt you set up below the turkey.
Yeah.
Same situation for me and Greg.
Got to do what you got to do. So that was a turkey you've been messing with. Now, to give a little more backstory, too, when Greg came down here, I don't think I was able to get out as long as y'all or something. Or I already told Colton that I was going to go with him. So I took Colton to the club, yep. And y'all went to this different area. And... with Colton, I wanted to, with Greg, I was kind of secretly hoping that y'all would go to this area for the deer scouting to go along with it. There are some cameras in there. It's kind of a treacherous walk to go get them.
Yep.
And I didn't really want to go do it. And so I was like, man, I kind of hope they go hunt that area. And y'all did. So I'm really excited to talk about that. But the initial day that y'all went turkey hunting, you did not.
No, where we went was the same area where I just missed the second turkey because I told Greg, I think I heard four, maybe five other turkeys gobble, but they were pretty far off, but they were in a certain direction, a very specific direction. And I told Greg, I was like, hey, I just screwed up on this bird. He ain't going to be talking. I guarantee that. And he ain't going to be in the same spot. But I heard some other birds gobble a little bit further back. Because originally we were going to go to this spot, but I was like, dude, let's bounce to this, let's bounce to this other section and hunt here. Just because I heard some more birds, I think we can get on them. It's a pretty interesting spot. We can listen real high. And he showed up the same day I missed. He just showed up that afternoon. So I'm like, let's go try to roost some birds. We went out there, kind of hiked through a little area, found some great deer sign. I actually found a spot I will be there during the rut if we're not doing any other hunts. Or have any other kind of constraints during that rut hunt. Found a awesome spot, kind of like in a pine, kind of a pine thicket, some growing up pines, and had like a grassy, like a drainage that cut through the pines, the short pines. I say short pines. They're probably 12, 15 foot tall, probably 6-year-old pines, 7-year-old pines, and had some real big pines growing right down that bottom. And dude, the deer trails were everywhere. I found a shed over there.
Okay.
Little dinky. I didn't bring it. It's in the back of my truck. It's a little dinky little
chew toy.
Yeah, a little 4-point side. And anyway, it just got found some great stuff for deer hunting. But we got off the back side of that in the drainage where I'd heard some of the gobbles coming from like further up the creek drainage. Second, we got in the hardwoods, just scratching everywhere. And I'm like, oh yeah, this is good. Got up in a little listening spot. And actually, I told Greg, I'm like, we might need to move from this spot because I feel like that turkey might roost right where we're sitting. So we ended up backing back up to the pines. Listen, ended up not striking a bird, not hearing any birds fly up or gobble on the roost, which is kind of typical. I typically don't have a ton of success getting one to gobble in the afternoons. But again, I haven't tried it in a little while just because of the lack of success back when we used to try to do it.
Yeah.
Went out the next morning, got to the same spot. I told Greg, because Greg was kind of staying in that area. And I told him, I was like, hey, it's a Sunday, but we need to get out there kind of early. And I'm like, I will meet you at 4. We need to be parked there by like 4:10, 4:15. Mm-hmm. So we did that. Ended up parking my truck in one spot and then going down. And we took his van and parked in a different spot that we were actually going to listen from. Got in there.
A little defensive parking action.
Yeah, kind of. And ended up, you know, parking, sitting there for a while. I mean, we were sitting there for, I mean, almost an hour, probably an hour in the truck. About 5:15, I'm like, hey, let's go walk up onto the little high spot behind us. We're going to listen from up there. We go walking up, get set up. And we had, I think, one truck come by us while we were sitting there, probably about 4:45, something like that. We get to, when we get to the top of the ridge, it's just like trucks start coming by. I had a couple trucks come by. Had one truck come from where my truck was parked at, like that, the other direction. And we can hear them coming. And it's like, it's like gray. It's legal shooting light at this point. It's probably 6 o'clock, 5:55, 6 o'clock almost.
Mm-hmm.
And this truck comes, see his headlights, but it's like you can see everything. Like he had binos, you can see everything. And he pulls in, actually right where I was parked the day before. I missed the bird, which is only like maybe 100 yards from us.
Yeah.
He sees the van. He pulls in, parks right there, and I'm like, dude, this sucks. Like dudes are like right here on top of us, and he's gonna walk. I mean, we're listening right there, but you know it is what it is. And I told Greg, I'm like, hey, when he gets out of the cop truck, just hoot. He does a natural voice hoot, and I'm telling you, dude, he did it a little earlier. It carries for miles. It echoed. I swear it echoed for probably 10 seconds after he stopped. I mean, it was ridiculous. So I was like, just do it when they hop out of the truck. Just let them know that we're here. And he does it, and the guy, like, there's two dudes in the truck. They open the doors, goes a step out, he owl hoots. And they look up at us, and they can see us plain. I mean, we're right there on the hill, like right next to him, like right above him. And they look. And they just like close the doors and they back up and like drive off. I was like, all right, cool. I'm like, I appreciate they were respectful of the situation. I'm like, I get it. Like, you park down the road where I can't see, that's cool. But if you park like right there, like, you know, just right there, anyways, kind of a complex situation. But ended up, I got a little bit further up the ridge. I never heard a bird. Greg had two gobble at a distance that he couldn't pinpoint. He was like, he was really far off gobbles when he owl hooted at one point. And then he heard there were some crows kicking up. And we talked a little bit about this whole crow situation last few episodes. Like, we really brought with Joe Hamm, where like Joe Hamm was talking about specifically a lot of times these crows will start harassing turkeys and especially the gobblers. And since that's happened, I've seen that happen a few times.
Yeah.
So at the club, when we were roosting birds, crows started dive bombing. Then we started hearing birds fly, turkeys fly up right there, and then the turkeys started gobbling at the crows and everything.
Yep.
Then we saw it when we hunted with Lee on the club, got back. Well, you didn't see it. I saw it. Got back. We were driving out of the club, hit a four-way intersection, and I look over to the left, and there's a gobbler in the road with two crows, like, swooping on them right there. And then when they saw me, they all flew off.
Yeah.
Well, then, so we hear all these crows going crazy. And I had, the day before when I hunted in there, crows were not dive bombing the turkey that I ended up missing, but they were sitting above them, just calling, doing their thing at them, and the gobbler's reacting. Well, I kept hearing that kind of next to me, but I never could hear a turkey gobble. And then Greg said he heard one way, like, across the road, like, kind of where we were listening down into.
Yeah.
Crow called, whatever you, anyways, and turkey gobbled. I never heard it, but he heard it. And he's like, hey, got a bird. He's like, right in front of us. And he's like, probably 600 yards. And I'm like, all right, cool. So we went over there. He showed me where the pen was at, kind of a little ridge where I rubbed a little creek bottom. And I'm like, all right, cool. Let's work our way towards that bird. So we worked our way towards him, got down the creek bottom, ended up, we tried to call, no response, zero response. Got down the creek bottom, crossed the creek, started paralleling kind of towards the point where that bird was originally reset. By this time, it's almost 7 o'clock. And we get a hen fired up. And there's a hen down there. And Greg is his turkey fired. Now, one thing about Greg, so I haven't hunted with Greg, okay? We never really talked to Greg about, like, his calling style and stuff. He's a big friction call guy. He's got mouth calls. Doesn't really run mouth calls a whole bunch. Big box call dude. And he's got this custom-made push button call. Push call. What would you call it?
Yeah, like push button.
Push button call. And I've seen those in the past. And I also thought they kind of sounded weird. He's got one that sounds, I'm talking about, fantastic. Sounds unlike pretty much any other call. Kind of like some of these other custom calls. Like, you kind of get like a, you get a box collar, you get like a wing bone. Like, you know, a lot of people talk about wing bones and trumpets. It sounds different from everything else, and you get good responses. His push button sounds fantastic. It sounds like unlike pretty much any other friction call, or even a mouth call for that matter. And I mean, just, I mean, he makes awesome clucks, yelps on it, purrs, the whole nine yards. Well, he's going back and forth with his hen with his push button. Ends up, she kind of comes in, but we never really see her. She kind of parallels the creek. She's on the other side of the creek. We're hoping the gobbler's with her. Gobbler never caught, never gobbled nothing. So, like, we finally let her work off. We're like, I don't know where he's at. We end up doing a loop. Don't really find anything. Don't strike a bird. And it gets to like 9 o'clock, and he's like, we need to probably bounce. I'm like, all right, like, you know, there's some other spots we can go to, but I'm like, I want to go try this one spot where this gobbler's been at that I've hunted him three times. Every time I've been in there, I've got on the bird. But he's just real stubborn. He likes to stay down this one bottom. It's hard to approach him. But I'm like, he's probably there. I doubt somebody else has killed him just because he's kind of quirky. So let's go try that spot. So we end up driving over. And that's the spot I originally wanted to go to the day before when I slept in. But I was like, someone's definitely at that gate. Well, while we're driving over there, we kind of almost pull up to the gate. And as we're pulling up there, a guy presumably came pulling out of that spot. He came by us pretty slow, like right before we got to the gate. I'm like, I think he just left that spot. And we got there, and there's fresh tire tracks there. I'm like, well, we're going.
He got whooped that morning. He's leaving.
Well, I don't know. I mean, he was 9:30. I'm like, either he killed one or he's just bouncing to a different spot, didn't hear anything gobble. Well, we park, and I'm like, this is going to be kind of interesting because I'm interested because other guys that hunt it, but they all hunt it a very specific way I've seen. Like, I always see boot tracks in a very specific spot, and the turkeys aren't necessarily there. They're like a ridge or two over.
Yeah.
So we pull up, and I'm like, hey, we're not going to make a sound. We're not going to yelp, call, or anything until we are on the ridge above where he likes to be. Okay? We are going to shut up. We're going to cross bottom. We're going to get on that ridge. Once we're there, we'll try to see if we can strike him. We do that. Slipped over there, quiet, trying to be as quiet as possible. Get up on that ridge, seeing all the scratching. I told him, this is one of the last spots I hunted him from. And actually, there's pine tree there where I'd kicked out all the leaves and stuff when I sat down. And I'm like, just heads up, at least in the past, like within like 5 days ago when I was in here on this turkey, he wouldn't gobble anything other than cutting. Like cutting, he'd get fired up. If you yelled, purred, clucked, he didn't really care a whole bunch. So he's like, all right. So he got the box call out, did a yelp sequence, no response. He starts cutting on it. Boom. Gets cut off. Gobbler's down there. He's not in the same bottom. He's in a kind of a flat kind of outside of the bottom.
Yeah.
But he's down below us. He gobbles, crosses this little creek. And I told him, I'm like, awesome work. I'm like, finally got one to gobble this morning. But I told him because I know the woods really well in this spot. I'm like, he's in some wide open hardwoods. Like, he almost probably could see us. Like, there, we had some good leaf cover and everything, but I'm like, he's probably 200 yards from us. But I don't know how we're going to approach that turkey. We kind of looked at the maps. I'm like, the only thing originally we were trying to set up above him on this ridge we were on, but I'm like, I don't think we can get him across the creek. Like, I just don't think we were going to be able to do it. So I was like, let's go and circle around. Like, we were talking, and we both decided, let's circle around, try and get up above him. And it's kind of gradual as it goes up right there. But I'm like, maybe we can get above and get on the backside of like one of these little points and try to call him around. So we make a big loop. As we're making a loop, he gobbled maybe a couple more times and kind of shut up. We make this loop. Took us about maybe 25, 30 minutes to get around. Got around, crossed around, started side hilling. And I was trying to be kind of aggressive. Like, let's kind of get up around him and, you know, call. Because there's like a very defined line where it goes from like the thick hardwood or like the open hardwoods to like thicker pines as you kind of go up in elevation. And I'm like, let's try to get up there. And Greg was like, no, he's like, dude, I think he's going to see us. Like, if we keep side hilling, he's going to see us. Cause it's wide. I mean, you can see 300 yards.
Yeah.
So he's like, let's actually drop down, get down this bottom, come up over this next rise. Let's try him and just see where he's at. So we kind of go down this bottom, come up this little rise, call. He gobbles, but he's pretty far down. He's like, let's cut the distance a little bit more, go down this next little drainage, and then let's try him. We go down the next drainage. He tries him again. Yelp, cut sequence. He gobbles a little bit closer now.
Okay.
And now hit the bird, instead of being down right there in that flat, he's kind of shifted up on the side hill, almost same elevation line as we are. He's like, we're going to set up right here. And I was thinking in my mind, I learned a lot hunting with Greg. we're sitting, we set it like kind of in a little low, like a little, like a drainage. Okay. Yeah. And I'm like, every time I've done this, I've had bad results. Okay. Set up in a drainage. He comes up kind of like what happened to us in the club, but Gobbler comes up on that ridge. And if you can't shoot where he pops up at, he's going to look over there, not see anything, and kind of drift off. And it's, yeah, it might be kind of hard, but he's like, let's sit up right here. I'm like, all right, cool. So we set up, I was running the camera. He had the shotgun. And he starts working on his turkey with that push button call. And he's gobbling. Every time he'd yelp on it now, he didn't have to cut. Every time he'd yelp on it, he'd cut him off. And he just kept going. And the turkey kind of drifted over towards us. And then he kind of drift back away. Finally, in like maybe 10 minutes, he's now straight above us. So he's swung up. And those thicker pines are probably 80 yards from us maybe. And he's up in that stuff now, like directly above us, like right up the drainage. I'm like, oh crap. Like this is, I'm just thinking in my head, I'm like, I don't know if he's going to leave this spot. Like, I really don't think he's going to leave the spot. Cause like every time I've been on the turkey, like he'll get in whatever little area he wants in, and he wants you to come to him. And like, I've shut up on him, try to be quiet, and he just stays there. Well, Greg, we kind of got quiet. Greg started scratching leaves and stuff like that. And the bird kind of got quiet, stopped gobbling. I'm like, maybe he's coming. I don't know. Maybe he's staying there. I'm thinking he's staying there. And probably 10 minutes goes by. And Greg's like starts clucking a couple times on that push button. And that cluck sounds good. And that turkey gobbled. And he's like right there. And I'm like, sounds like he's 150 yards above us. Maybe 200 yards above us. And one thing I told Greg, this turkey, a couple times I've been on him, he does like this soft gobble. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't think it's a true mute gobble after we kind of talked about it. It sounds different from like what you were talking about. But like I had him like that one time at 70 yards and he gobbled at me. He sounded like he was 200 yards from me. Like gobbled right at me. Nothing was between me and him. He gobbled. And well, anyways, he sounds like he's 150 yards up this hill, 100 or 200 yards up the hill. Well, all of a sudden, Greg, I can hear Greg's sitting maybe 5 yards to my right. And he's like, I see him. I'm like, what? And I see where his gun's pointed. And I'm like, kind of like look up there. And I kind of like ease the camera around. And I'm like, I don't see anything. And then all of a sudden I caught a turkey walking left to right up there. And I saw him. I'm like, is that the gobbler? And I was looking for a beard. I couldn't see a beard. And then all of a sudden he's like, no, he's there. He's strutting right there. And out from behind a tree up there in those pines, I can just see that tail fan open up.
Oh yeah.
And I'm like, no. I'm like, okay. I'm like, well, he's got other turkeys with him. he's like, hey man, he's like, I think he's got a hen with him. I'm like, that's not good. that's gonna be hard. And I kind of see him. He stands there and he's kind of pivoting. He's not gobbling right now. He's just kind of pivoting, strutting. And then all of a sudden, I see this other turkey come walking, kind of again now back right to left. And I look at it and I see a little beard. I'm like, oh, it's Jake. And I was like, hey, he's got a Jake with him. And in second, Greg saw that. He changed his perspective. And I wouldn't have thought about this. He starts clucking and doing some soft yelps. That push button, it's like wherever it's open. It looks like the best way to describe it for somebody who haven't seen the push button. I don't know if all push buttons look like this, but the one he's got, it looks like the bottom of a box call. Okay.
Yeah.
Like the bottom of the box call without the lid. And whichever way you face the opening of that push button, that's where it directs the calls. Well, if he puts it up against his leg and does it, it sounds super soft and muffled.
He's coming. It's the gobbler with two Jakes.
And then also he can like turn it away from the turkey and it sounds like kind of like your mouth calling back behind you.
Yeah.
Well, he's doing that while he's got his gun up, like soft clucks and stuff and yelps. And all of a sudden those Jakes turned out to be two Jakes, got real interested. And they start like kind of working their way down. He starts kind of working his way down. And then all of a sudden, this Jake's is breaking. They're coming. And I'm like, he's like, hey, they're coming. Actually, he couldn't see him at this point. I'm like, hey, they're coming right now. Like, the Jakes are coming. And he's like, just doing that soft, like, just clucking. And, dude, the Jakes just peel off the side of the ridge. And they're at this point, we're looking up there, and he's like 100 yards, maybe 120 yards, like, up the ridge from us. And he gobbles. Still sounds far away, but he's right there gobbling. And those Jakes start coming down. And then the gobbler breaks strut and just starts coming. And I'm like, he's coming.
Jake's getting him.
And I'm like, he's going to come right down this drainage to us. But then I was thinking, I'm like, there's some deadfall in the drainage. I'm like, I think he's going to swing around to the left. Well, I'm sitting to the left. If the turkeys are 12 o'clock from us, which they were, I'm on Greg's left-hand side. Well, they start peeing around the left, the ridge to our left. And I'm like, I hope Greg can kill them before they get, like, before I'm between the turkeys and Greg.
And Greg.
Yeah. Well, they start.
You might just have to duck and cover.
Dude, they start coming. They start coming. They're coming. They're, like, at 60 yards. They're, like, 70 yards and 60 yards and 50 yards. And when he gets about 50 yards, he gobbles again. And, again, doesn't sound like he's – it sounds like he's a lot further than what he is. He just gobbles, and then, like, he blows up. He gobbles, blows up, and strut. And then I can start hearing him drumming at that point. I'm like, okay. I'm like, oh, this is awesome. I got to get the camera on him and everything. And they keep coming side-hilling. And we're sitting in the sun. There's no cover. We're sitting up against these pine trees. There's nothing around us. I'm talking about pine straw, and that is it.
Yep.
And I'm like, we're about to get – I'm thinking, like, this Jake, one of these turkeys is about to bust us. Because I'm sitting in the sun. I've got a camera. I've got a lens on the camera. And I'm like, I'm trying to, like, keep the camera from looking at the sun so it doesn't, like, reflect any light at them. And I'm, like, trying to be, like, super cautious of that because I'm like, I don't want to screw up this opportunity for Greg. They end up coming. The Jakes stick their head up, start periscoping. I'm like, oh, we're about to get busted. And the Jakes, like, kind of put their head back down, just keep walking, keep walking, keep walking, keep walking. And Greg's like, I got to reposition. And I'm like, oh, crap. He's, like, he's not pointing at him. And he couldn't shift his body anymore. So, like, they get behind some trees. He swings the gun around. Next thing they know, they get to, like, 30, 35 yards. He blows back up in a strut, breaks strut. Second he breaks strut, he, like, turns to look around, and Greg's, boom, just shoots. When he shoots, I kind of like lose him behind some pine trees, big pines. And he shoots, I see a bird like, it looked like he was like hobbling, whatever. And I see these turkeys and they go behind pine trees. Next time I know, I see these turkeys flying. I see two turkeys flying. I'm like, oh crap, he missed.
You cursed him. You passed the curse along.
I was like, I'm filming them. And I'm like, these turkeys pitch off the side of the ridge, across the creek. And I'm, like, just filming them through the air, and I hear second gunshot, boom. And I'm, like, and the turkey doesn't fall. It just keeps flying. And then next thing I know, Greg's, like, running past me, and he's, like, running up the hill. And I'm, like, I kind of, like, move the camera back over to Greg, and Greg's, like, running up the hill. I'm, like, dude, he doesn't realize the turkey flew off. He gets up there, and he, like, keeps going up the hill. I'm, like, dude, he doesn't know yet. Like, he didn't see him fly off. And next I know, I see him reach down, grab, and pick up a turkey with that long beard. And I'm like, what?
And on the video, you're like, no way.
I'm like, dude, I was like, no freaking way, man. And, yeah, he killed the bird. First shot probably killed it. I mean, probably was going to kill it, but he just didn't drop. He just kind of, like, hobbled. His egg came up behind a tree, shot again. He's like, I don't even know if I hit him on the second shot. He just went down.
Good freaking job.
He got so close to you, I was like, man.
Oh my god. Oh yeah, he's got some hooks too.
Can't believe we got it on film. They were circling, I was like, man, I'm about to blow Jacob's eardrums up.
Oh dude. Hell yeah, let's go.
I can't believe they came down here.
Dude.
When they could, but I didn't know it was Jake's.
Yeah. Those are part of the Jake's been in here, dude.
Dude, I was turned all the way around. Didn't have any kind of rest. I mean, they weren't like 30 yards, 35.
That's awesome. Hell yeah, he's just awesome. Look at
that. And anyways, we went up. He grabbed the bird. I freaked out. I was like, I cannot believe.
This is a good one.
Yeah, I was like, I can't believe we just killed this turkey. Got some really good spurs, solid beard. And I'm like, oh my gosh, dude, it was awesome. But
we'll cut some video in because you were videoing that. Yeah. So we'll cut some video into this podcast for the YouTube audience. So if you're listening to this on the audio feed, you're missing out.
Yeah, go watch on YouTube. But it was a cool experience. When we got up there, we kind of just laid there next to turkey and just like took it all in and like kind of talked about the hunt. And there was some really good stuff that me and Greg were talking about the setup and like. Greg, like one thing Greg said, he's like, Jake, I don't mean this in a bad way, okay? But he's like, I think you're almost too analytical when it comes to turkey hunting. He's like, I think you're trying to deer hunt like the turkeys. I'm like, what do you mean? He's like,
oh, I can see that.
He's like, you were really kind of overanalyzing like how to get into the turkeys. He's like, the second that turkey gobbled again, he would cut the distance. He's like, you just don't worry about trying to like get higher in elevation. Just sit, set up, if it doesn't work out, reposition when the turkey drifts the back off. I'm like, that's a good, he's like, you saw around us, like there was no cover. We just got to get some big trees and just stayed still. And he's like, I've killed so many turkeys just sitting still in the open, but sitting still on a big tree.
Yeah.
And just like getting in position and kill turkeys that way. And I was like, that's an excellent point. That's a really good point. Cause there's a lot of times I get a turkey gobble and I'm like, man, I want to keep kind of pushing the distance, trying to get a little close, try to change setups or whatever. He's like, you just need to set up and try to work him and see if you can get him in a position. Cause he called him off the ridge.
Yeah.
Like out of this little thick stuff that he wanted. And what killed that turkey specifically was the jakes.
Yeah.
The jakes got all curious and they were coming, and that gobbler was not going to let the jakes get to the hen before he did.
Yeah.
So that played a huge, huge, huge factor for it. But it was
his dang teenage buddies got him killed.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I just told him, I was like, but I told him it was cool to see how he was calling. He's like, the second I saw and you told me they were jakes with him, he's like, he saw they were jakes too. But it's like when I confirmed, like, hey, they're definitely jakes. Like I'm looking right at them. That's when he was like, he actually started calling more, because he's like, if it was just the gobbler, probably wouldn't have done that situation. Probably would have shut up and just been quiet and just kind of let him do his thing. But when I saw there were jakes there, he's like, I'm confident we can get the jakes come down. If we get the jakes come down, he's coming down with them.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's a huge thing I learned on that too.
That's a great piece of advice, man, about not being too analytical with it. I definitely do that too. Mm-hmm. For sure I do that. And that's actually probably why it took me so long to kill a freaking turkey this year too, because looking back over the course of the season, I think I've had several opportunities and I ended up busting the bird, you know, like we've talked about it before, just trying to get too aggressive and move on them. Mm-hmm. And I think part of that is like a lack of confidence and being able to call him a distance to you, like Greg's talking about.
Another thing that Greg did that I wouldn't have thought of, like once he gobbled, I wouldn't have probably tried to like call him again until I got set up. He's like, no, I want to keep checking him as we're moving, because mm-hmm. I want to let him know that we're moving. Mm-hmm. Like actually as a real turkey, because he's like, it's not natural for like a hen go from like one spot across the creek to now being like, if you looked at it maybe on a track, like almost half a mile. We didn't walk half a mile directly past him or anything, but did a circle to get on his side without talking again. He's like, in like nature, that hen would have been talking as she was walking to him and kind of swinging around and then get held up.
That's good.
And he's like, anyways, so he said that. Plus, he's like, I want to check him and see where he's at, because if he doesn't respond, we're definitely setting up. If he does respond, we'll kind of figure out how far he is and then set up accordingly. So like when he had cut the distance and got closer, he's like, we need to set up right here. Like we don't need to go over this rise. We're going to bust that turkey.
Yeah.
So I'm like, that's a good point. Very good tip there. Houndstooth Game Calls Dixie Hen Slate was just voted the overall best turkey call by Field and Stream Outdoors, and trust me, it's super easy to run and be extremely dynamic when you're in the turkey woods. Now, we've mentioned a couple of these calls in the past, like the Spur Master and the Success Call in a past episode with both Gary Vines and Lyle Gilbert of Houndstooth Game Calls, and it was funny enough, y'all actually bought every Spur Master call and Success Call they had. Now, pay attention to their website. They're going to have some more come up in stock in the next few days. So when they come available, make sure you get one if you did not purchase one before they sold out last time. Both the Spur Master and the Success Call are fantastic for hunting high-pressure turkeys, whether you're on a hunting club where you have a lot of other members hunting those same turkeys, or if you're on public land. Again, both of those calls will make you sound a little bit different from everybody else and be a lot more subtle in your calling technique and be able to really help close those distances with those gobblers. So if you want to give Houndstooth Game Calls a try, go to houndstoothgamecalls.com. Use the promo code SOP24. Again, promo code SOP24 for 15% off houndtoothgamecalls.com. TruLock Chokes has been made in Georgia since 1981 and offering a wide range of chokes, over 2,000 different chokes for all kinds of shooting activities. You might be wondering why you'd want to purchase a TruLock choke, and it's to improve your shotgun performance. Absolutely guaranteed. And as a great example, we have Andrew Maxwell here. And Andrew, you've had some pretty good luck, again, kind of switching out chokes and trying out the Precision Hunter choke from TruLock. So, Andrew, what's been your experience so far?
Yeah, I've used the same choke for several years now. I never really thought much of it, and I got the TruLock choke in. I patterned my gun with the first choke at 30 and 50, and then I switched to the TruLock and changed from 30 to 50. And the 50-yard pattern on my gun with the TruLock choke is unbelievable. Like everybody's jaws were dropping. Like when we were out there with Mike and Sam, we were all super impressed. I mean, it's throwing a better pattern at 50 now than it was throwing at 40 before my old choke.
And Andrew, you're shooting the Precision Hunter choke from TruLock. It's a great option. Same chokes I have in my shotgun. So guys, if you want to give TruLock a shot this spring, you can head over to TruLockChokes.com. That's TruLockChokes.com. You can also use the promo code Southern at checkout at TruLockChokes.com and save 10% on your order. Again, give TruLock a shot this spring, especially if you're not happy with the performance of your shotgun, and shoot with a more deadly pattern with TruLock.
Yeah, that is a good tip. And like looking back after hearing that tip, I can look back at past hunts and be like, I have done that before, but like kind of unknowingly. Like in Georgia, mm-hmm. where I did that loud, obnoxious call sequence that one time, and we put it in our newsletter that went out 2 weeks ago. I put that story in there, but like it was nothing happening all morning, and then I was getting ready to leave, and so I acted like two hens, like cutting at each other. So I was like calling out of both sides of this mouth call, and it sounded like two hens. And it got some birds fired up. And when they first gobbled, they were like way far off. And then the second time they gobbled, they were a lot closer. And it was one of those situations where I literally just had to plop down. Actually, kind of similar to the gobbler I killed the other day, where I sat down and I had to like look kind of around the side of her. I was like side hill to them, and they literally came running in. And if I had tried to like get to where now I think I would need to get, I would have totally busted up for sure. Because they were literally running to me, but I didn't fully realize it at the time.
Yep.
So that's a good tip, dude. That's a really good tip.
Yep.
Right here at the end of turkey season, too.
Well, so that happened. He killed that turkey. We were sitting next to that turkey at 11:14 on the dot.
Nice.
So it went from like a super slow morning, nothing happening, to like striking a bird, having a bird killed within 45 minutes to an hour, maybe. Mm-hmm. So, and that's one thing I was telling Greg this today when we were hunting a different piece of public, that when the difference between deer and turkey hunting, you never know what's going to happen. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what I mean by that is you go set up and you might not know you have an opportunity until you see or hear that buck. Like you hear the deer walking, you still don't know until you see him. Okay. Turkey hunting, it can change at the drop of the hat, because at any point you could strike a gobbler, he could gobble, mm-hmm. and you're back in the game. You were from out of the game to being back in the game. Where deer hunting, it's like you always kind of hope you're in the game, but you never really
know. You don't really know.
You don't know.
Yeah.
Until, you know, you either kill him or it gets dark, or your morning hunt gets to midday and you got to leave or whatever.
Yeah.
So that's why I told him, like, I really like about turkey hunting is like you're never truly out of the game. Like, even when you're walking back to the truck, if you still try to strike a bird as you're walking, you never know. You might call it non-deer. You might strike a turkey, strike a gobbler, and he might be 200 yards from the truck on the way back to the truck after doing a 2 mile loop or 3 mile loop. And that kind of happened today, unfortunately. Well, and yeah, not in a great way. But yeah, me and Greg hunted today. Went to a different spot that we'd seen birds in the fall during deer season, and covered a bunch of ground. Got in and we had a hike in a pretty long ways in order to kind of get to where I wanted to listen over a creek system. And when we got to about 20 yards of where we wanted to set up to listen, and we started walking early. We got set up at like 5:15. We bust a turkey off a tree at that high point of this ridge. It's in some thick stuff. Like, you're walking through saplings and crap trying to get to like this listening spot. And we bust a turkey out of this big pine tree. And I'm like, and just one turkey. And I'm like, I cannot believe we just busted the turkey. Like, I would never expect a turkey to rooster right there. So I'm like, it might have been a gobbler. One turkey by itself. Like, maybe it's a lone hen in the tree.
She could have been nesting up there.
Yeah, maybe. Something. I don't know. Yeah, you never know. You know.
We're getting ready to nest, I guess.
But we ended up not. I thought I heard a turkey gobble at like 5:30, like real early. But ended up just, you know, not confirming hearing a turkey on the roost. We ended up doing a big loop. I think we ended up doing 6.5, almost 7 miles, something like that. And we didn't strike a bird until like 8:40. Ended up doing a big loop and got back on another secondary ridge point. We were going to kind of drop off and kind of, you know, work through a bottom and kind of come back up another ridge. And had actually walked by one of our cameras, and I was like, I'm going to pull this camera down. And while we were there, I can't remember if Greg called or not, but turkey gobbled, and he was way up on this ridge. And I was like, holy crap. It went from like being so slow, like we were finding a bunch of scratch, like so slow. I mean, this is rough. To a turkey gobbled, and we tried to make a move on that bird, and he never really wanted to. He got a little closer to us, but he was at like 400 something yards probably.
And so you left the camera, right? Y'all didn't pull that one?
Yeah, so we ended up working back up the ridge.
Which when I got the picture of you walking past it, I was like, oh my gosh, they didn't get that camera. I was hoping you would get it because it's a hellacious walk in there. I'm like, oh my gosh, you were right there and you didn't get it.
Well, my thought is I'm just going to turkey hunt in there again, grab it at another point. But I was going to get it on the way out, but we walked by it without like, I thought it was at some point, like because I didn't have the pin on the map of the camera.
You walked past it.
Yeah, so like after we ended up not getting on that turkey ended up gobbling straight away from us and walked off gobbling. And we were going to get that camera coming off that ridge. And next thing I know, we get into the area. I'm like, this doesn't look right. I'm like, where's that camera at? He's like, oh, it's way back. It's like 200 yards behind us. And I'm like, I didn't want to walk all the way back up there to get it. I'm like, I'll just get it at another point. We'll just kind of work out here.
It is what it is.
Ended up no striking turkey. Ended up grabbing a couple of our other cameras that died and found this sucker, which we kind of talked about last week. But this shit right here. Nice four-point side. Got a... he's got one decent kicker and another kicker that's kind of growing, but fresh shed is about laying about 30 yards. I say fresh shed, it doesn't have blood or anything on the pedicle, but it's from this year. But anyway, it was laying like 30 yards from one of the scrapes that one of these cameras was on.
This scrape we got on the screen right here, actually.
Yep.
So yeah, we're going to start rolling through this. This scrape that I'm showing on the screen right now, as you can see, it's on a sparkleberry. When we mention sparkleberry all the time, that is a sparkleberry. And this is why I always say that God made sparkleberry bushes for scrapes. I mean, just look at that. Look at that beautiful limb hanging over that lichen branch, which is about to get tore up.
Oh, none of those yeah, three branches are on there anymore.
Oh, I know. They're gone. They were gone within a couple of days of us putting this out because as it was sending pictures... I could see that lichen branch deteriorate over time. But you can also see on the ground where everything's really tore up, where the scrape is actually opened up on the ground, it's a gigantic scrape. We opened up some of those, but that's the natural scrape. When I first found it a year ago, it looked just like that.
Oh,
so,
right now it's 15 to 16 feet wide.
Oh, it's gigantic.
Yeah, we got there. I told Greg when we walked up to him, like, that's a scrape. Because we'd pass some small scrapes, like, you know, 2-3 feet
there's down. Dude, when you're in there in December, there are hundreds of scrapes mm-hmm. in there. But so y'all pass some small ones?
Yeah, pass some small. And like, because I was like kind of dropping pins on some other scrapes in a couple other areas. And I told them when we get to these cameras to go pull them, like you're going to see what a big community scrape looks like. And yeah, it looked very impressive.
What did Greg say about it? Like, has he ever found anything like that?
I never asked him, but he did. Say wow. Is that deer? No,
that's not him. That's a good deer though. I mean, he's got great grouse hinds. I think he could potentially, you know, if he made it, he could be a really, really nice buck this year. Mm-hmm. He's got the height and everything. He just looks like a little stud, probably 3.5-year-old, I guess.
Maybe. Yeah, because you ever run this cameras up in a tree, so
it always makes him look a little bit smaller.
It makes their body look smaller, but yeah, he probably is 3.5.
But these deer in here look very healthy to me. I mean, as far as their bodies go, but there he is working that licking branch. I mean, dude, just awesome.
Go over to YouTube, guys. Watch the podcast.
Yeah, go over to YouTube and watch it. But yeah, you can see what I mean by that licking branch. Just looks phenomenal. I mean, just that's what the sparkleberry's made for. And you can see in the background all the other ones. Now, all the other ones last year looked like the one that buck was just working, and they have like destroyed them. So it'll be. I'm kind of curious to see how it goes.
Oh, they're still using it. I mean, that licking branch is still chewed up, like fresh chewed up. Gray fox,
dude. So I've got multiple videos of gray foxes doing this,
rolling
in the scrape.
And the pee, there's a little cover scent for them.
I don't know, dude.
Dude, that's weird. I didn't see that.
The other scrape, I just went through the other scrape photos. Has a gray fox doing the exact same thing. I bet he smells great after he did that. Oh, here's another buck.
A little youngin.
Yeah, another younger 8-point, you know, not too shabby. Another buck.
7-point.
Seven point.
I don't know. Does he have two brow times?
I don't know. We're not gonna show all these, and we're not gonna spend a lot of time on them because there's some pretty nice deer on here that I'm wanting to get to. Now, one reason, so like this is a cell camera, but one thing that we have learned over the years, we've talked about this a little bit recently. These cell cameras do not send you every video or every photo. Mm-hmm. It's sometimes they do, I guess. If they've got really, really good service. But a lot of times, you know, especially when you're putting them down and, oh, yeah, let's go. That's good deer. I don't remember getting that picture.
Is it a 9-point?
Yeah, it's either a 9 or a 10 if he's got that extra point.
Look at his belly. Hold on.
Look, yeah, dude.
Hold on a second.
Sucker looks preggo.
Did we get this photo?
No. This is exactly what I'm talking about, dude. We did not get this photo, I don't think. Dude, that is a stud. Come on.
That's a good one. Nice 3-year-old.
Shut up.
He's okay. Short time. Oh, he does have a big belly, but his face is kind of short. He looks weird. It looks like his belly, like his body's bigger than his face. Like he's like a.
Well, these you have cell service. Yeah.
He was not on camera. We'd never get this photo.
Dude, that's a good deer. I'd call him a 9-point. He doesn't quite have that extra point on his right side. But anyways, so this prime example of like. This thing's down in a hub, kind of down in a hub, and you have cell service, but not really good cell service down here, and so it's gonna miss.
Dude,
sometimes.
We definitely did not get this deer on camera, or he definitely did not get that sent to us.
Okay, that deer got killed. And
is who, it?
Yeah, that's the one that got killed.
Hold on,
and if the guy who, you know who you are. But yeah, that's the one that got killed. That's good deer. That's a really
hold
good
on. What's the date on this?
December 6th.
Is that the same one that we had on the other camera? Because I don't.
Yeah.
I don't. Okay.
Yeah, we had him once. Now we have another one that looks kind of similar to him. That I don't.
Oh, maybe because the other camera was real grainy. Where like you couldn't tell because he had that weird side. I couldn't tell if
yeah,
he broke
the
it
tip
off.
Tip of his main beam is broke off.
Okay.
That's a great deer, man. It got great mass. You know, nothing crazy as far as like. Like, it just depends, dude. Like, if you're talking about a high-scoring deer, like, he's not a high-scoring deer, but I'm not really into that anyways. But, like, that's a mature freaking Alabama
dude, that's a really
buck
pretty,
right there.
That's a pretty 2-year-old or 3-year-old.
Oh, yeah. So, now, one interesting thing about this scrape right here is so far...
Oh, by the way, one of the branches already broke off.
Oh, yeah. So, one interesting thing about the scrape is the fact that most of these are nighttime so far, and at the same... You know, about the same time. So this deer's on the other camera as well. He's a pretty neat looking deer. He's just thick.
Oh yeah, okay, I remember this one.
He was in the other one on daylight. So the other camera, which is only a couple hundred yards away on another scrape, that one is almost all daylight. This one's almost all nighttime, at least for this time period, which we're still on December 6th. Dude, there's such a flurry of activity in here.
Where's this deer at? That's what I want to know.
Dude, I have a joke that, like, these cameras don't send... They send everything except bucks. Dude, by the way, look at that licking branch now. That licking branch is decimated.
Oh, yeah, the one in the center of the screen.
Yeah. He's just kind of a neat-looking buck to me. He's just like a little thick boy. Like, look at those antlers, man.
That's me.
He's kind of palmated.
I don't have much show, but I got a lot of personality, just like him.
Whoa,
that was cool. Like, look at him. He freaking thrashed that sucker. He thrashed that licking branch.
Thrashed that licking branch.
That's awesome.
That's cool.
He broke that sucker. Broke it up. Yeah, y'all got to
go. So, what's your thought on this spot, Jacob?
I mean.
You know, like, versus that other scrape where it's all daylight, you know, at the other scrape.
Oh, there's that deer. It travels all over the place.
Yeah, wide buck.
I don't know. Yeah, it's weird because they're only like 200 yards apart. But like you said, like the other scrape had way more daylight activity. But then I kind of understand maybe why, because you have thick cover on the other scrape. There's thick cover on. It's kind of like in a little saddle hub system.
Yeah.
And there's thick cover on both sides of it, mm-hmm. and coming up the middle of it, where this is like a little bit more open.
Yeah.
And as you go up the ridge, like go up the hill behind it, it's thick, but it like there's like a it's like the first. Maybe 20 or 30 feet up the hill, it's not thick. Maybe 40 feet up the hill.
Yeah.
And then it kind of gets thick. The other one, it's like thick all the way up and around the scrape.
Yes.
So that might be a big factor.
Look at this bad boy. When he looks at the camera, he is a...
He's a goofy deer.
Yeah, he's a goofy looking deer.
Pass that deer.
Bull crap. There ain't no way you'd pass that deer.
Dude, I ain't putting him on a cart.
He's long and lean, bro.
He reminds me of my velvet deer I killed in Tennessee, and just not as big, but has that frame that kind of like goes up. Oh, there's a daytime pick, little buck. But
yeah, on the 10th.
All right, let's keep going. Got a bunch of does coming through. Another 2-year-old, maybe 3-year, probably 3-year. Oh,
yeah.
Old.
Yeah, that's a great.
Well, hold on.
No, that's not him.
It's not him. Okay. Where's this deer at? See, if this camera didn't die, we would have probably got him on camera because his antler is just out of frame. Like it was laying just out of frame of this camera.
Yeah, that's the thing, dude. These cameras, so that's another thing about this one. So it's a Tacticam Reveal X, and we had it on. Now, given we had it on a pretty like extreme setting, I guess. So it takes 3 photos and 15-second video each time it's triggered. And those we have learned with these cameras, if you have it on that setting, it will last 1 month. Because we put it out on the 3rd, and it died on the 2nd.
Yeah.
So
there's that one deer again.
No, that's a different deer than what we were looking at before. That's wide 6.
That's the 6-point.
So there's 2 really, really wide deer. This is one of them.
Now,
I don't know.
Okay, what do you describe as really wide?
This deer.
Okay, there's not 2 of them then, because that deer is considerably wider than the 7-point.
Well, I mean, the 7-point is pretty wide, but he's not like crazy wide. The 6-point is crazy wide.
No.
No, that's not him. Oh, yeah, this is when we had multiple mature bucks in daylight on this day. Because that's a different deer. So that's a 744, and then like 1 minute behind him is another one of those bucks.
Yep.
So they had to have been following a doe. So what's your thoughts on that? When you get a video like this, where all of a sudden 2 of the better bucks that we've had on camera come through with each other on camera at 7:45 a.m.
Well, look how dark their tarsal glands are. I mean, they're definitely, they know, probably more than likely there's a doe either in heat or about to come into heat that they're both checking on. There's not too interested in fighting each other because the doe's not quite right there. But that's one thing. I don't think we got many bucks that were like super broken up.
Mm-mm, no. So we had the broken beam buck. But how does that influence your thoughts on this spot for maybe going into this coming season?
Oh, well, we have a future guest on the podcast, so we're going to talk about that. But yeah, you get that on camera, you better go in there.
That's what I'd call a wide deer.
I would pass that deer in a heartbeat.
Shut up. My gosh. My goodness. Yeah, that's a freaking... That's what I'm talking about, dude.
Yeah. If you like 6 points, again, go to the
video. Go to YouTube. If you like big, wide 6 points, dude, yeah, that's a good deer. And he's got the brows to match. Like, a lot of those deer, they have little nubs for brows, or they don't have, like, any brows at all.
It's just a bunch of... Again, you just... A few... Oh, is that a buck in the background?
No, it's a doe.
It's a doe. Okay. Well, look,
old doe.
You said a hen was a long beard. Oh,
dude, hauling. Oh, that's a dog.
Oh, coon dog in after it.
Dude, we got dogs chasing our deer back there.
Yep. No, the interesting thing is looking at the different time periods of the flurry move, because that's the biggest thing is analyzing the data that comes through on trail cameras in order to be able to use. Like this needed information on like specific date ranges that you might need to be, hunting. I guess it's raining right there. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a big 6-point.
Oh, Whitey. Maybe he'll.
Is he again?
Is that him again?
Yeah, daylight. He was all over it for a couple days there. Oh, wait, no, that's a different
deer. That's that 7-point.
No, that's not that 7-point. Because he's got a wonky side. That's another wide deer. And this kind of goes back
Yeah, because we thought about that, but again, like the video, the photos you get in, they're kind of downgraded quality. So you got to request HD version or whatever?
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, overall, just a different flurry of activity. So, yeah, there's a specific date range that.
Dude, that sucker walks all over that spot in that specific date range. Goodness gracious. Yeah, that's a good deal.
See, one thing, so I've told you this before, but like, I think it's worth, if you have a cell or if you have a camera specifically on it, any kind of scrapes, is paying attention to your doe tarsal glands and like if any of them are starting to get any kind of darkness to them. Because like we've noticed that in a couple spots where like, you'll have a group of like 4 or 5 does come through and only one of them will have like slightly stained tarsals and the other ones aren't even like close to being stained. And it's like, well, clearly you can kind of figure out there's probably one of them is going to come into heat earlier than the others.
Yeah, definitely. Look at that little fawn by herself. That's another thing is these little fawns. When I start seeing those fawns, like especially if you're using cell cameras to monitor a spot, when I start getting pictures
that's a nubbin buck right there.
Well, even like a little button buck or this year's fawn, when I start seeing them without mama like showing up at scrapes, that gets my attention because I'm like, okay, mama's out doing something, you know. She and especially like there's probably that same little fawn walking around a couple hours later, you know, not really knowing what to do, I guess. That's because mama's probably out getting chased. But what do you think of this spot in general? Like, are you interested in hunting this spot next year? Like, seeing what you're seeing here?
I mean, around specific date ranges, yes. I mean, outside of that, no. I'd be interested in seeing if there's that same button buck came through. I'd be interested in seeing, you know, in within a couple days of when some of these mature bucks are daylighting, if you see another, like, it might not be the same deer, but another mature buck daylighting that same time period for whatever reason. I think that'd be something worth talking about. Like, okay, so he's not trying to pee on his legs. He's got his legs spread out.
Yeah, he's peeing right in the scrape.
That's hoof marks. It's deer domestic violence. Well,
and that would be the last photo. So, yeah, January 2nd, it died, and we put it out on December 3rd. So, I'll tell you what, that kind of changes my perspective on how we're using these cameras, too, because these specific cameras, I don't think I'm going to do on video anymore because they died too quick. Well, it depends on where it's at. If I put one on the club and I can get to it, I'll put it on video. But if I put one in a spot like where this is, I'm just putting it on photo, yeah. And I just, you know, well, I'll just give up the video. Even though it's nice having the video and kind of seeing where they came from, where they're going, whatnot, dude, it's just not worth it. I mean, it freaking, we missed the best time.
I know.
Because, I mean, the rut was coming, and even the other one died on January 11th. So, I mean, like, we missed out on probably some of the best, at least rut activity, which towards late December there, again, these are on scrapes, but towards late December, we saw a decrease in activity for sure. So, and that's another thing about why I kind of like monitoring these scrapes with these cameras is when the activity is, like, really hot and heavy, that tells me, at least, that, you know, something's about to happen most likely. Like, there's a doe that's going to come into heat there pretty soon. And then when the activity kind of dies off, that means they're probably chasing in there. Either that or another doe somewhere else has kind of come into heat, and I don't know, maybe they've kind of moved on or whatever. But yeah, so that deer, this is that 8-point that we had on this camera. I thought this could have been him, but he doesn't have those kickers, but he looks kind of similar. So we never got the shed buck on camera. Not one time.
Good to know.
Yeah. And that's 2 years of history with these specific scrapes now. So that's 2 years in a row that we have ran cameras on these exact scrapes. So that, I don't know, dude. It's interesting. I feel like we got plenty of data. What I want to do is look at both years and see where the dates kind of line up with one another. So it's like, okay, is it like December 14th through the 17th? Those are like when we get the majority of our daylight pictures in these areas. Is that when we need to be in there hunting or whatever? So that's what I'm going to do. I haven't really looked through it yet, but these are some of the bucks. Check out this little two-year-old dude. Pretty little thing. Just a little perfect basket. I'm like, dude, he'll be a good one.
He could grow into a stud. You never know.
Yep, definitely. That's him.
Yep.
Same deer. Little basket. Look at that black streak down his back, too. Look at that cape, dude. That'd be a cool deer to mount if it gets a little bit bigger. So, anyways, That's it. Those are our trophies. There's a couple other bucks on here, but I'm not gonna go through them right now. Nothing crazy. Like, you know, some tall deer. Nothing that we didn't see on the other camera. So the other camera actually had, I think, more bucks on it, or at least more big bucks. This one had a lot of smaller bucks on it, and this one had a lot of daylight activity and some chasing going on. But actually, I'll cut in a video from this camera. But you can see kind of like what Jacob was talking about here, where look at the sapling thicket behind it. And this particular area is a lot of sapling thickets like that. kind of like up in North Alabama. You're kind of outside of, I guess, traditional pine country, at least in this part of Alabama you are. And so you find like cedar thickets and sapling thickets like this. And even though, like, that's not something that would really fire me up in most that wouldn't fire me up at all on my hunting club. Here it's like the only thick cover they seem to have, so they end up using it, you know?
Yep.
So
yeah, no, it kind of throws you for a loop. I'll say this, after turkey hunting in there, it's like, it's crazy how much thicker it is when it's like full foliage in there. Makes it much more challenging. But like, yeah, once the leaves come off, you're like, man, this ain't that thick. But like for the deer, it's as thick as it gets for them.
Yeah, no doubt.
Makes it pretty awesome. But other than that, what else you got?
No, dude, that's it. I'm excited to get back in there and start running some cameras. I want to get we still got two cameras in there that we got to pull and check. One of them we put out. It's a cell cam, but it did not have service like at all when we put it out, and it sent us like two or three pictures, but it definitely had to have gotten more pictures than that. So that card's probably got a lot of stuff we haven't seen on it. So I'm excited to pull that one. And then other than that, I just want to get in there and just get more familiar with the terrain. And I want to go hit some like creek crossings and stuff and see if we can start picking up some of these deer, you know, midsummer, and make a concerted effort to kind of locate them and locate some of the bigger ones that we have on camera. Well, I pulled another camera a couple weeks ago that had bigger bucks on it than pretty much everything we just looked at.
Mm-hmm.
And they're kind of in a separate area, and we're not going to show any of those.
No.
We're going to be a little close to the chest about those.
Yep, negative. Anyway, well, other than that, I got a little dinner party I got to get to. So
yeah, you late.
Yep, but anyway, appreciate everybody watching the podcast. Appreciate everybody listening to the podcast. Again, we'll get to some more Q&As on next Thursday's episode. So feel free to write in some more Q&As. Appreciate all the listener success stories coming through for everybody who's been killing turkeys using some of the tips and tactics discussed on the podcast with past podcast guests and current podcast guests. So appreciate y'all watching. Appreciate y'all. I can't talk. Also appreciate you guys listening to the podcast. And we'll catch you back here on next episode of the podcast on Monday. And remember, y'all stay southern.
Look, last summer, y'all heard us talk a bunch about the Mobile Hunters Expo. It was an incredible event. A bunch of you guys came out to meet us. We got to talk to I don't even know how many listeners. If you heard all that last year and you're like, dang, that sounded cool. I should have went to that. Here's your chance. You need to make it to this one. It's June 28th through June 30th in Dalton, Georgia, all right? Giving you a heads up here, so go ahead and mark it on your calendar. June 28th through June 30th, Dalton, Georgia is going to be the 2024 Mobile Hunters Expo. We're going to be there. A bunch of our past podcast guests are going to be there. There's going to be seminars. All of the mobile hunting companies are going to be there for you to try out gear before you buy it. It's like the one event of the year where all of the mobile hunter ecosystem just kind of congregates in one place. And Chris and Josh and the guys have done an absolutely phenomenal job putting this thing together over the last couple years. And it keeps getting better every year. So like I said, make sure you come see us. We're going to have a gigantic stack of free stickers to give away to every listener that stops by the booth. And we're going to have merch there to purchase. We're going to be recording podcasts, shooting videos, all kinds of stuff. So like I said, don't miss it. You can head on over to themobilehuntersexpo.com to look at show schedules and dates and go ahead and grab your tickets. So y'all go check it out at themobilehuntersexpo.com.